Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, 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 and welcome to The New Normal. I'm Deborah Francis-White, and this is a Guilty Feminist Instagram Live daily show about life and feminism in lockdown. And today, my guest is the incredible Robbie Hoffman. So I'll just wait for a few people to come on and get a quorum before I invite Robbie on. She's a brilliant comedian that some of you may remember from the Seattle show. Hello, Robbie's there. She's going to come on in a minute. But first, I'm just going to tell you about the Stay at Home New Normal t-shirts. There's a slogan on each one that's from our guest of the day, and 100% of the profits goes to that guest. Many of our guests are gigging comics, and the only income that they had was live gigs, and those have been cancelled, as you may have noticed. So 100% of the profit goes there because the merch store is kindly going in that very kind direction. And they're print on demand, so there's no waste. All right, I think we've got a quorum now. Let's invite on the fabulous Robbie Hoffman. Hello, Robbie Hoffman, in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We're waiting for Robbie, but I feel quite convinced. There she is.
Hello,
Robbie Hoffman. Can you see me?
I can see you.
I'm very well. It's so sunny here.
The glorious sight. It's like you're in Palm Springs.
I'm in Camden Town, but the weather is like Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Look, it's glorious. How are we expected to go to school on a day like today?
No, school's out for the summer at this point.
I had responsibilities.
I had tea for you. I decided to pour some tea, and I just spilled, just before I got on, the biggest cup of tea. So see, tea in Americans, I want it to work, but it's just not working.
Fair. It's you're really more of the coffee people.
Yeah, you know, I tried to do tea. I got a big thing here. Nice mug, and you know,
nice.
No tea left because it all spilled, so forget the tea.
Well, it's only 10 a.m. there, yeah?
Yeah.
So you're still in that part of the morning. We're heading into cocktail hour here. If I had my way, I'd have a cocktail right now.
I'm going to have a cocktail in like 6 seconds. I mean, not a cocktail.
Yeah, I mean, we're really, it just, yeah, if you, we're getting a little bit of round and round, so I'm going to go inside because I also need a little bit of a charge. So I might take my hat off. Sadly, disappointing,
you know,
for absolutely
inside,
everybody.
Because I don't know how good the service is here.
Yeah, I think we're getting a little bit of here we go. But now.
So what's see the LA there. Sun?
Oh,
look
glorious.
How sunny it is here in LA.
My wall is the color of the LA sun. My bedroom wall is the color of the LA
That's
sun.
My car.
I'm going to sit up more so you can see the color of my wall because I'm actually on my bed right now, which is my my sort of pleasant interviewing place because I can really relax. Oh. Whereabouts in Los Angeles are you, Robbie?
I'm on the east side. I'm in Echo Park.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Yeah. It's a It's, to be honest, what am I saying? It's all nice, LA. It's all kind of, it's that glorious weather all over Los Angeles. I don't know what I mean by, oh, that's a nice area. What was I going to say was not a nice area? Where was I going to say, what? Why would you live there? I wasn't going to say that for anything. It's like when someone tells you their children's ages and you say they're nice ages. What were you going to say were horrible ages? You weren't going to say that about anything. So firstly, can I ask, how the hell are you? That's my opening question.
Honestly, I feel bad saying, but I'm doing great. You know, lesbians invented the core. That's how I feel.
Invented the what?
The core, the quarantine. We've been U-hauling and hunkering down since the U-Haul was invented. So we are very comfortable in a core.
So you believe that lesbians are natural quarantiners?
Yes. We've been saying this for years. Stay inside. There's nothing for you outside. This is how we have felt. And as a Jew, you know, if you can't get yourself a lesbian, or if you're questioning, now's the time to make the leap safely. But as a Jew, we're very comfortable in a core. I don't know if you remember the story of Anne Frank, but the seven of them in a little attic for 6 years. So it's not nothing, you know. We might not be the greatest, you know, manual laborists that ever were, but we are comfortable hunkering down.
As always, Robbie Hoffman, I will say to you, you can say that, right. But should you?
I mean,
that is my catchphrase when I'm with Robbie Hoffman. I've only done one show with Robbie, but it was my catchphrase for the whole show. You can say that, but should you?
I got a couple
of
emails.
Tell me, firstly, do you have any new I'm a feminist bots from this period?
Oh, I didn't even think of it. I mean, I'm a feminist, but I hate white women who don't wear masks.
Oh, yeah. I hear that, because they used to say it doesn't make any difference, really. It's just for the look. They're now saying 75% maybe better, but I don't know what the truth is. So do you wear a mask every time you go out?
Yes, I'm also Jewish. I'm not taking chances. It's like, I still say a prayer at night just in case I'm wrong and I get there.
So you told us when you were on the podcast that you were raised Orthodox Jewish and you became quite superstitious because of that. Like you had to, you know, everything was good luck and left foot, right foot, all of that sort of stuff.
Yes.
So the mask is a natural place for you, you think, because it's a security measure.
It's just something. It's just better than nothing. It's like voting for anybody but Trump. People are like, well, I won't vote at all. It's better than nothing. Some things are better. Some things are on a scale. You're not going to get everything you want all the time. Now, I don't think a mask, you know, if I'm out in the open and I'm walking, okay. But if I am going anywhere, even a parking lot to park at the grocery store, I'm in the mask.
Yeah, well, it's great. It's I'm in the mask. That may be your T-shirt slogan. I suspect already lesbians invented the quarantine. And because we have every day, basically something that the guest says becomes a T-shirt slogan. And then they're printed on demand. And 100% of the profits go to you as the slogan inventor. And your name will be on the T-shirt. So it'll say the new normal. And then it'll say ex Robbie Hoffman. It'll say your slogan that you improvised, ad-libbed. And then it will say, stay at home. And anyone can buy that. So already lesbians invented the quarantine, I think would be a very strong contender.
As somebody, you know, I'm reporting live from kind of Anne Frank's remodeled Echo Park studio.
I mean, that could also be a strong contender for a slogan. I don't know how many of those we would sell. I know you would buy one, but it's meant to make profit for you. So I don't know how we're going to feel about that.
Here we've been calling it at this house, you know, live from the Corona cost. I mean, it's not dissimilar.
Oh my God. Oh my God. So can you tell me, is there anything you've done that has been good emotionally or mentally to keep an equilibrium during lockdown? Because it's not a comedian's natural home, lockdown. Comedians, you like to leave the house.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm also a writer. I'm also, is it Deborah or Deborah? I've spoken to you now 1,000 times and I want to say D. I want to feel like we're past. Deborah.
Yeah,
but I want to go Deborah, Deb
but
too.
Jewish
I want to do
Jewish
Deb
people,
too.
Yeah, that's fine. Deb's fine. But Jewish people sometimes call me Devorah.
Yes,
because that's
name.
Hebrew. It's a Hebrew name.
Yeah. Yeah, Devorah.
It means bee.
So anyway, Devorah, for me, what have I been doing? You know, I don't miss that. Like, it was great that I do stand up. And when it's available to me, I do it. You know, I'm also, you know, I'm a TV writer, which seems to be going really well now randomly. And I feel bad talking about this. But listen, I can't wait to do stand up again when it's available and safe. For me, my safety is like, without that, I can't, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't know if I ever would have taken a break from stand up. I'm not somebody who's like ever taken a year off or months off or things like that. So it's kind of been enforced. It took a global pandemic for me to take a second. And, you know, I'm doing the lesbian thing now. We're cooking every day. I never cooked in my life. You know, I'm cooking, we're cleaning, you know, we're doing things like, you know, so it's going to make a housewife out of me. And I'm not that unhappy about it right now. I think it's a much needed break that was put upon somebody who's always go, go, go. So I don't know. I think it'll be back though. That said, I'm not like one of these alarmists or these, you know, very pessimistic. Like, stand-up clubs will be full. Like, it's going to come back with a vengeance.
Do you have any renewed hope for humanity though, where you think, hey, maybe we will learn something about the environment? Or do you feel like America's going to push forward? Do you think the rest of the world might learn anything?
I do. I just think in our lifetime, we just don't have the time for people to catch up. We almost need like some type of dictatorship government that's like positive. That's like, okay, this is, you know, this is the new law for, you know, going green, you know, and all the things that we need.
Who would you put in charge of your benign dictatorship?
Like a Ruth Bader Ginsburg or somebody.
Nice.
Do you know what I mean? Who knows her shit. She doesn't have a lot of time to fuck around.
An amazing
Jewish woman,
she's
just
going to
get it done. Yes.
Yeah.
And she just get it done. And that's it. Her, or, you know, a Judge Judy, somebody effective, somebody who just will get it done. This is the law. There's no arguing. There's no appeal. There's no complaint email. It is what it is.
So you're arguing for a Bader Ginsburgocracy.
Yes.
I am loving that. But listen, I want to live in a Bader Ginsburgocracy could be a great t-shirt for you as well.
I'm loving all these t-shirts.
Someone's saying AOC. What do you think of AOC?
I love AOC. She'd be great too. You know, I think, yes, I love AOC. If we just got her in there and she made it the law, it's enough is enough. We can't be even having conversations with, it's just, it's so polarized. Like, it's just too slow. I don't have the time.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, the planet doesn't have the time for all of this.
Yeah, what I like about an older, I love AOC, but what I like about somebody older, like a Judge Judy or a Ruth Bader, is they don't have the time either. So we feel the sense of urgency at every level with somebody at that age. That's all.
Is it a bit like in The Good Place? You know, there's who is it? Who plays her in The Good Place? She plays the kind of like the older woman who makes the decisions. I mean, she's nowhere near as old as Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She's not old, but she's sort of like a sensible middle-aged woman. She used to be in SNL. What's her name? She's in that whole Kristen Schaal gang. She's in The Good Place. About the afterlife, and she makes these decisions. Her name will come.
I honestly have not watched it, but if in the comments you know who this is, please help us out. This is now your chance.
She is a woman of color, actually. People are saying any woman of color who trusts the specialists. I agree with that. Maya Rudolph, thank you very much. Maya Rudolph, you're a correct.
Great. Amazing.
So a Maya Rudolph-ocracy. I think a Ruth Bader Ginsburg-ocracy, though, would be pretty damn fine. I would love that. Yeah. I would really love that. So is there anything you've talked about your emotional equilibrium, but is there a moment that you've had that's a low moment? We always ask this every day because people seem to be live streaming their, you know, fun. Oh, we're all in hats making margaritas, but the sad moments we're not live streaming. And so everyone feels alone when they have them. Have you had a lonely moment where you've gone, wow, I had a bit of a revelation there, or I felt this way, and then I was able to get myself out of it. Have you had any sad moments?
Yeah, I will say that recently I realized like something about myself is I'm not good at making plans. Like I don't make the plans with my friends a lot, you know. Either the you know, I my plans are normally set for me a lot through what I do miss about stand up is grabbing a meal with another stand up, like having a great meal before a show or after a show, because that's really how most of my plans were set up. So it's
Right.
like I don't really have like I don't I speak to some people every day, my sisters and a couple close friends. But beyond that, I'm like looking at people. I'm like, oh, I haven't seen this person in months. Normally, I would see that person for dinner maybe once a month. Yeah, so I just feel like I'm missing that. So, you know, that I don't see like the people that I was seeing, you know, once, you know, by the time I had dinner five times a week with somebody, I've had caught up with five friends that I haven't seen in a month. So
Right.
that kind of rotation is off, and I'm not very good at like maintaining through text or you know, it doesn't do the same thing for me, so I don't even attempt to do it. You know what I mean? I don't love FaceTime, I don't love doing all those things, so I'm kind of feeling like, oh, I'm such a social person, and now I'm not social, so it's a whole identity thing that's like not happening for me.
Are you isolated with anybody?
I am,
Discreet.
like I said. The lesbians invented the core. Okay. What happened to me, and I don't recommend this for beginners. If you were
No.
a beginner lesbian, this is not for the faint of heart. I met
Never.
somebody a week before. We went on four dates in a week, which is slow pace for lesbians. We went on a day, on a date, then a day off, a date to day off. We didn't know about the core yet, so this was just the normal pace of dating. And then the core happened the 13th of March here. And we just looked at each other as all as and you, me, let's do this. And we made the leap.
Wow.
And it's been phenomenal. You know what?
Oh.
It's been phenomenal. And it's like we're too soon for labels, but we're past them as well. Like we live a full married life where the stakes are life and death. But we
Wow.
also, you know, giving titles to each other, those things we're still stunting in because it's really only been a couple months. In core
Yeah.
time, you know, Corona cost time, it's 10 years, you know, but
Oh.
in real time, it's 2 months. So it's interesting. But that said, it's like we're doing it, you know,
I
we're
hope
doing
you
it.
are writing this as a rom-com, the quarantine rom-com.
Yeah, it's more of a dramedy.
Because, well,
So.
I heard here a story about it was lesbians. They were on their second date, and when the lockdown was announced here, and one of them had symptoms, so they couldn't break up. So they are in lockdown together, even though they were just on their second date. I don't know how it's going, but
I'm sure
that's.
it's going well. Listen, again, if you are a beginner lesbian, do not attempt this. I have been a lesbian over 10 years now. I get
Right.
it. Okay. So, but it's been going, you know, we're cooking, we're getting into roles. Like, you know, like I don't mind cooking. I love to clean. I'm very neat. I don't know if you can see some of my, I keep a very
Yeah.
limited wardrobe behind me. This is all the clothing I own. So all those t-shirts. When I get a sweater, I give one away. I live a very neat and precise life. I'm happy to clean. So we've gotten into this rhythm where she normally takes over the cooking. Not because she's the girl in the relationship, though she is. Okay.
You're
And I
both the girl in
clean.
the relationship. That's the point of being a
Yes, but
lesbian.
I clean.
Okay, all right. Well, I like that. I like
What
that.
are you doing,
It, what
Deborah?
is
So
she?
you're not, you're, yeah.
I'm with Tom, but Steve, who lives with us, who's family to us, who's from Syria,
Yeah.
he went to the country with friends because they have a house and like there's plenty of place outside they can run around and all of that. So we miss him a lot. We have three cats.
Yes, I'm thinking
And
about getting a cat in core.
I feel like any lesbian couple worth their salt in quarantine would have a cat. Feels like you're not the
I know.
complete lesbian quarantine couple unless you have a cat. I think you should get a cat
I've
today.
had a cat, but I live in such an open, my house is so open that. Besides, there's nothing really closed off except for the bathroom, and I would have to put the litter in the bathroom. I don't know about that. What do you think about? Or I can empty one of my cabinets somewhere and put like build in a you know, a lower cabinet.
We have,
build in a litter.
We have a litter robot. It's like a genie robot. So it looks like a time machine, but the cat gets in and then when it gets out, it depends. They're meant to rotate if they're in a cord. Ours is on a slightly uneven surface, I think, so it doesn't, because we live in a converted house, old house. But you just press the button and it goes around. And what it does is it disposes of anything that's like there's clumping litter. So if they've peed in the litter, it makes a little clump. And it disposes of all of the unclean stuff and the crap and everything. And then it spins itself around, sifts that out, and then comes back around with the clean litter in. So we have that in a cupboard. It's a robot genie. So
yeah,
I
gotta look into
that.
But it's big, isn't it big?
Yeah. You
See,
need a
I
cupboard
would build out a small cabinet. I gotta figure it out.
I'm loving the idea of you doing carpentry in quarantine. It's very sexy.
This is something. Yeah, it really works for my vibes. Like a modern day Jesus, modern day Jewish. I mean, he was Jewish.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's
it. Yeah. Actually, reminds me, Deborah. If you have a minute, this was a crazy thing. But I once didn't get my period. Did I tell you about this? When I didn't get my period for 6 months.
No.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you something. I was at school. I was in university, and I didn't get, or as you say, uni. I didn't get my period 6 months. So I go to the university doctor. Okay, I had an appointment there. And he first of all, my friend Melissa drove me to the appointment, and I said, Malay, what if he tells me I'm pregnant? Like, she knows I'm a lesbian. I was at the time a gold star lesbian, never been with any guys, you know, I said, what would you think? Would you think I was immaculately conceived, or what would you? She said very sadly that she would think that. We went to a party. We were partying a lot, and some guy or someone put something in something, and something even worse happened to me. And I said, what if the doctor says your hymen is intact, everything, you're pregnant, and we don't know how you're pregnant? Like, could I be? Am I, like, I can't have Jesus now? Like, what if I'm pregnant with Jesus? And obviously, the second coming is going to go to some Jewish girl, because he's got to be Jewish.
If he repeats, yes, you could have been Mary. You were this close to an immaculate conception.
And I was like, well, I'm in school. Like, this is no time to bring in Jesus. I would have to abort, which we would have to keep.
You cannot abort the Messiah, just to be very clear.
I would have to. I was 19 years old. Like, what am I going to do?
Process.
What would I do? Like,
this feels like such an intensely blasphemous conversation. As an atheist, even I feel like, what? But I suppose it would speed up the process.
I wouldn't want to. But I would have to say, listen, people don't think about what it's like to raise Jesus. They think it's all fun and games when he's 33 and he's making miracles on water. They're not thinking, what about the 10-year-old Jesus who wants to play hockey? I don't want to lug around a bag. I don't want to do hockey.
All good points. In case the Messiah wants to do hockey, you do not want to deal with that. And the motherhood is inflicted upon you non-consensually. Mary didn't want it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Some young Jew is now walking around.
It's true.
And it's a Jewish girl too. Like, it's not even for us. It's like some, you know, it's like a sacrificial lamb. And, you know, and I would have to say, sorry, folks. And then the whole world would find out about it. And I maybe wouldn't even be able to get my abortion because people would go crazy about it.
I don't know that you could abort the Messiah, but maybe you can. And then he immediately gets, you know, what do you call it when someone is reconceived in someone else's stomach.
I'm going to be like, sorry, folks, we have to wait another 3,000 years.
I mean, I would not, I don't know if that's how it works. I think Mary was chosen carefully in the story. Somebody's asking what you think of the program Unorthodox. Have you watched it?
I haven't watched it yet, but I know a bunch about it. I hear it's really good. I'm taking something like that is pretty heavy for me to watch. Mm-hmm. So I'm taking my time getting into something like that. In the corona costs, I don't know if it's the right vibes for me right now to be getting into something like that. I'm keeping it pretty light. I'm watching the Michael Jordan doc. You know, we're watching Alone, actually, which is that History Channel psychotic show where people have to survive the wilderness alone. So I'm keeping it very nature-friendly, planet Earth type stuff. And some very light sports documentaries as a lesbian. So I'm not really getting into that heavy stuff. I think once life is back again, I could watch something like an Insular World like that, but it makes me feel a little claustrophobic to get into something like that now.
I think from our previous conversations, you would relate to it and you would like it. I found it some hard watching and some, it was very compelling and very good, but I found it some hard watching at times because, you know, I have a similar if different background, and other friends of mine who've got a similar if different background were like, yeah, there were times when I was like, so maybe it's not a corona, it's not a lockdown watch for you, but at some point I think you would enjoy it. Somebody asks, Run Bake Girl asks, is the whole Christian doctrine based on some poor girl back in the day getting roofied? Learning is fun.
I mean, this is what I'm saying, guys, and it's going to be, if you believe in the second coming, then you must also believe and carry the logic through that some poor Jewish girl walking around, living her life, trying to make something of herself is suddenly going to get pregnant with your baby. She doesn't want, it's not even like she wants
this baby. It's not consensual. That's the problem with it. You should not knock someone up without their consent, or certainly not deliberately. No. That's a deliberate.
No, and I hope God is listening, you know, I'm sure many people who want to surrogate this child. It wasn't for me at that time.
No. It's basically enforced IVF. If you woke up and someone had IVF'd you, you'd be like, dude, like, no, please stop.
It's also like, you know, as a queer dyke, it's dysphoric for me to suddenly get pregnant. I wouldn't even like, it would just make me further from my body. I just like, there's so many things I can't even get into, but please leave me out of it. I mean, I support, you know, Jesus, by the way, sounds like
I support the Messiah, but I do not want to carry the Messiah. I think it's reasonable.
I can't.
Now, speaking of unorthodox, are there any watches that you've gotten into during like binge watches or films that you've seen or books that you've read that you could recommend to us?
Yes, Alone. I keep saying on the History Channel, they send 10 people out in the second season. They start including women, which at first, the first season is 10 men go out different places in the wilderness. They leave them with nothing. Bears, everything there. You have to just survive, you and the skills. And it's a return to primitive living. It's something really relatable right now, but it's also equally as relaxing because you're in the wilderness, which I find very peaceful. So, and I live in the city, so for me, it's a nice getaway without actually surviving, you know, the wilderness.
Getting away. Yeah. So it's a lot.
So there's 10 men.
Survive the wilderness.
Yeah, whoever lasts the longest gets $500,000 US.
Wow. Wow. Nadia is asking, did you find out why you didn't have a period for 6 months?
Yes. So I went to this doctor, and a lot of people, and again, this is not me defending men. I don't care about men, but a lot of people don't like a male gynecologist. I've had wonderful male gynecologists. I don't know anything of it, you know. So for me, I know people have had bad experiences, and that's horrendous. And maybe I'm not attractive to the male gynecology sector. You know, they've never done anything to me. I'm trying not to be offended by it. I feel like I have a nice situation down there, but it's not for me. Whatever it is, they've been respectful. I spoke to this doctor. This is the first time in my life that I had kind of care, you know. Shout out to McGill, which I went to. It's not nothing, but they had a wonderful healthcare for students there. And the doctor examined me naked. You know, I put a robe on. He looked at everything very, made me feel very comfortable, as comfortable as you could be in that sense. He said, okay, get dressed and come speak to me. Now, there were many people in the waiting room waiting for him. So I was like, okay. Got dressed. I went to his office. I went to speak to him, and he took 45 minutes out of his day. And I was worried at this time. I'm somebody who like doesn't want to ask for favors or things like that. I was worried. So many other people are waiting. Like, why is he taking so much time to talk to me? You know, like, and he just went through my schedule. And I, at the time, I was working probably 30 hours a week plus school, 30 hours a week. And so I had a really intense schedule, and he went through my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Went through everything, and he talked to me about stress management for the first time in my life. I was 19.
Oh, wow.
The next day, I got my period.
Wow.
This was the first person who asked me, how are you? Like, when I sat in his chair, he was like, and how are you? And my parents weren't even calling. You know, nobody ever called me. At this point, I was fully on my, I was living alone in the city, like the show, and kind of just surviving. And nobody had really, like, I've never even really asked myself how I was, and this man took 45 minutes to just talk to me about how I am, and was so kind and courteous. And it was very spiritual. The next day, I just felt a relief.
Wow. The mind and the body are so connected. They're so connected.
Yeah, and I got my period. 100%. It was my first also foray maybe into therapy, you know, because he was a medical doctor, but he had such a wise soul to him, and he was so connected by mind and body that even him just talking to me was just wonderful. So
Nadia's saying good doctor, and she's becoming a doctor, so she has an interest there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And can I ask you, if you went into lockdown again, is there anything you would do differently? Like, is there something you would take? Or, like, for me, I would hope to, if I had a spare room, to have someone who could do, like, I feel like I would love one person to move in with me who could blow dry hair, do makeup, do waxing, teach yoga. Like, I feel like a very multi-rounded person who was, you know, I said this to Raven Smith. He said, you want an Instagram influencer to move in with you? And I said, yeah, basically, somebody who can do all that stuff. Is there anything you would do differently next time?
So we're quarantined. This is very fancy. But we've opened our pod. So basically, whoever we spoke to on the 13th, was in my life on the 13th is in my life. We've been exposed to each other. The only other person is the girl that I'm dating.
Yeah.
She luckily enough, she was kind of helping out this family friend of hers. She was kind of like, they were just moving back randomly. Same thing. They got a beautiful pool. They happened to be very famous. So it'd be interesting, you know, if I could reveal. But anyway, they have a really big house with a pool and
so
all kinds of stuff.
So you go there?
So we go there. I actually was there last night.
But doesn't the lockdown not work that way, though? Because then they're seeing everyone they were seeing on the 13th.
No, it's only us. They only saw her.
So you all made a commitment like a commune.
Yeah, so it's four
people.
So we
don't see any.
It's two couples. They have the big house. Now, we like to have our own space. And, you know, we're not the quietest in bed and is what it is. But so we like to have our own space, but we also enjoy, we had burgers last night. They made burger night. We roasted marshmallows outside.
Oh, you said burgers. Okay. Yeah.
They have all the amenities that you would want. So I would probably either do a full move into a situation like that, find out who's got the best hookup.
Yeah.
And I would try and get into that. Or I would, I might just go into vacation mode. I might let's say this happens next time. I might just go to a cabin from the get-go, buy a lake, and do that.
Yeah. It would be good to commune it up, though, wouldn't it? It would be good to, like, have eight people in a commune or something. But then in other ways, I'm so happy I have my space. And I'm so happy that I'm not like with people I don't know very well, or with like feeling like a guest somewhere. So I go back and forth. I think overall I'm happy I'm in my own space, because I think I would be, I'd started to get tense now if I felt like a guest somewhere.
I would do, I would do something. No, I wouldn't want to be a guest. You're right. I like what the setup we have now. Like if we want a day trip, we go there. And if we want a trip back,
that makes sense.
Here.
Like, if you're only seeing them and they're only seeing you, I guess we've not been allowed to do that here. And But
it was only because on the 13th, the day of the court, we had all seen each. So we knew that we were all affecting each other.
Right. That if anyone was going to get it. Well, I'm glad that you don't have it.
And also they're famous. And unfortunately they're able to get, they got a test like whenever they wanted. So we knew that they were negative. We can't, we're not nothing. So we couldn't get. But here, it's such a psychotic system here where it's like ridiculous. Either way, I guess I benefited indirectly for sure, because I knew that they had a negative result.
Right. Okay. So that makes sense. So then if they're negative, you're probably negative because.
Yeah.
America's a bit screwed up like that. I don't think it's
really
like that
screwed
here.
Up.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah. It's cray cray. And your president has been especially. Yeah. Has had a special amount of panache and flair in his deliveries, in his pronouncements. I mean, it's so beyond parody now. Is there anything about this whole thing that has surprised you? Anything where you've gone, I did not see that coming? Like for you, the way people have responded, or the way you've responded?
I suppose for me, it's how unanxious I am. I think my brother was telling me that he read something that talked about people who have anxiety, at least it already happened. So for me, it's like, I'm always expecting worst case scenario, and that's where my anxiety lives. But because worst case scenario happened, the world literally did shut down. I'm kind of at peace having a diagnosis, like, it happened. It's
almost
like. I
have another friend to say that she was like, I suffered a lot of anxiety, and she said the worst has happened. I'm not worried anymore, because this is what I was always going, something like this is going to happen. And now it's happened. I'm like, that's a really interesting response.
Yeah. I'm feeling not as anxious somehow. I don't know if it's festering and I'll explode or something, but so far, so good.
It might
I'm
be
trying
deferred,
to be in-
but it's interesting though, that anxious people are like, I told you,
this is what I was saying.
Is there a piece of feminism we can help you with today, or activism? Is there something you'd like us to get behind, something you'd like to donate to, amplify, follow, a petition you'd like us to sign, a refuge you'd like us to help with?
No, I am not that person. The only thing I could say is help another lesbian out. Tune into Dyke Vice, my show, where, by the way, a lot of people don't know this about me, Deborah, but I think you do. I give very good advice. It might not be, tied in a pretty bow for you, but I barely disagree.
There'll be no bows.
Okay, but you can call into Dyke Vice, which is my show, Thursdays in America at, which I guess it's 10 p.m. Eastern time in America.
Yeah.
7 p.m. Western time, Pacific time in California, whatever 7 p.m. Western time is in London, call into Dyke Vice. You can watch it and call in on planetscum.live.
It's hours, 8 hours later. So it's like 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3. It's 3 a.m. So if we've got 3 any
a.m., you night owls, you have a problem. It doesn't matter what it is. Call in. I'm not happy to, but I'll
Dyke
help.
Vice. Dyke Vice. She's not happy to help, but she will. A great I'm not happy to help but I will is also a great t-shirt slogan.
Thank you.
And finally, is there anything else, any places else we can see you, anywhere we can follow you, anything we can you want us to see, look at, you know, watch?
Yes, of course, follow me here on Instagram. There's a couple good nudes if you scroll through. You're welcome, it's free. Follow me on Twitter. Okay, you'll get, you know.
Are you just, you're just Robbie Hoffman, or you're Robbie_Hoffman, something like that?
I'm Robbie Hoffman on Instagram right here, and I am Robbie Hoffman on Twitter. I don't want to get into why
Robbie
that
Hoffman,
handle had
right.
to be my handle. It's I am Robbie Hoffman, RobbyHo. And for yourself. And by the way, you're paying a lot
Okay, could you make a little story about Dyke Vice?
Yes, I will. And I'll try and include you. And here's the thing. You're paying a lot for therapists this time. Therapists aren't going to tell you what to do because it's against their mantra for some reason. I'm going to tell you exactly what to do. I am the first therapist to tell you exactly what to do.
Oh, one thing I want to ask you is when we did our episode together in Seattle, some people wrote in and they said, I loved Robbie Hoffman. I loved her comedy. But I felt in her stand-up comedy, I felt a little excluded because I'm bisexual. And she was sort of saying, you know, hey, you want to be, you know, you say you're queer, but blah, 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 blah. And I said, I really am sure she wasn't meaning that. Because I talked to her afterwards and said that I feel like I'm bisexual and I haven't come out and I haven't explored it yet. And you were very supportive of me doing that. And I have since then done that. I asked my husband if I could have an open relationship. And he was down with it. And well, I actually asked him before that, but I hadn't done anything about it. So you encouraged me to explore my bi side, which I did, and which I have done. And I just wanted to ask you about it because I found you very supportive to someone who is a beginner lesbian and newly exploring their bisexuality. And what I said to them was, I think stand-up comedy is a very blunt tool and it thrives on hyperbole. So your routine of you say you're queer, get out of here. You call yourself queer, get out of here. I felt was more about the experience of being a lesbian in a world which in that sort of landscape of I kissed a girl and I liked it, sort of dabbling in a space that's not really yours. But I wanted to ask you what it was about and whether or not I'd told them the right thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's about. I mean, people have to understand, if you're listening to me, I am a comedian and I joke about everything. Sometimes you're going to be offended by things I joke about. I don't have a problem with you being offended by some things I joke about. It's like when my niece wanted me to take her to Disney, but she had already been to Disney last year. And her mother said to me, well, she's going to cry. I said, it does not bother me that a 10-year-old is going to cry when she doesn't get what she wants. That is normal to me. If a 30-year-old started crying because they didn't go to Disney, I would see some problem with that. Yes, I'm only talking about comedy within my own queer space. So when people come to me and they want to experiment or they want to play around with dyke hearts and things like that, that's what I'm speaking to always. Right. I never speak beyond what I know and what my own experience is. And I'm also always joking. Take a joke. People make jokes about me and I make my own jokes about me. We're taking jokes. Not everything is so personal. I'm also not a journalist. Sometimes people will say, I can't believe Sarah Silverman is saying this about this. She's not Anderson Cooper. She's a clown. We are clowns. We are not beholden to any type of moral or righteous compass. We will talk beyond our means, under our means, over our means. We will exaggerate. We will be wrong. We will be right. We will ultimately do what we think is funny for us and as authentic to our, you know, to what we think is funny. Not more, not less.
But there are times when I do judge men for doing what I think contributes to. So what they're doing is their world, they're contributing to an already hostile environment. So if there's five men on a bill and a guy gets up and is like, oh, you know, she didn't want to sleep with me. She's a bitch. She's a whore. She's a lesbian. And then they say, and now Robbie Hoffman, it makes your job harder. And it also reinforces a negative worldview. If someone says, I don't really believe in lesbians or whatever, for me, I think comedy has power. And I do want to ask comedians if they're contributing to if they're questioning a worldview that is making life difficult for people in the margins. The reason I don't find a problem when you do it is I feel like you're punching down because you're further into the margins than the people you're joking about in that case. Because what you're saying is there are some people who are like, oh, I like to kiss girls at parties to be titillating. So some young women or women of any age who say, I want to be titillating. Oh, so that means I'm queer. And so for me, you're living further in the margins than those women. And so I feel like that's what you're joking about. But if you were joking about lesbians in wheelchairs that you didn't want to sleep with them, right. I would question it. I'd be like,
me too. And my thing is never talking about something I haven't experienced. I've experienced many women trying to experiment and do this and that. And, you know, and it's all just a comment on that. It's a joke and commentary on that. And I believe
that's
it has power.
Figured.
And it's for fun. The thing is I'm nothing about what I say, if you dissect it and you understand it, for it would be biphobic or anything like that. For the reason that it simply isn't. I'm not saying, even if I tell you, do you know what it's like to go down on a girl? It's a joke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not, it's something that I'm because I've encountered girls like this over my years being a visibly dykey person. There's a lot of girls who think because I look like a dyke, they can come up to me and they could, you know, and I'm the first little experiment or whatever. And then they go back and they even talk to me about this openly, unabashedly.
I've heard other lesbians with a sort of more masculine or androgynous gender expression say this exact story about, like, I don't want to be kind of toyed with or played with, so that you can be more interesting at parties and say that you've had these experiences.
Right. So real bi girls, I don't think bi girls, there's any barometer or anything to anything. I think if you want to be cool and impress boys and use me as a tool for it, I'm not down. I'm going to talk about it.
But if somebody is experimenting with their bisexual side or trying to open that door,
DM
and they
me.
Are genuinely... If they genuinely are, and I actually am really, you know, I had to sort of screw my courage to the sticking place, so to speak, to do that. But it was really important for me to do that and hopefully, you know, explore that further. And I can't explore it much in lockdown, to be honest, because of lack of lesbians in my lockdown. That was a poor forethought. I would add more lesbians to my lockdown next time, Robbie.
You get a girl, I think it'll be another avenue for you. I think it'll really be, you know, I'm just excited for
you. My husband really hopes that's not true.
I know, but I'm hoping, see, I'm allowed to root for the other side. Okay, we're all rooting. We want Deborah. I mean, it's what a catch for us to get, even a part of you. So it would be a huge win for the queer community.
I think bi, why wouldn't you have that? Why wouldn't you have access and openness to everything? For me, bisexuality or pansexuality is the sort of dream in a way, because you're less limited. There's more opportunity.
I agree. And listen, I'm not bi. Here's the whole thing with people, they want to tell, there's a Kinsey scale. You don't think I gave hand jobs like it was my job in the ninth grade and I enjoyed them. I have liked men before. I am speaking from an experience that I know also as somebody who's experienced levels of being pansexual or bisexual. I mean, for a couple of years of my life even. So I understand what life in the middle is like, and I'm speaking to my own experience always with it. And,
that's,
you know,
what
and
I
even
felt,
though,
like, I felt that strongly. I was like, you were so supportive of me when we talked about it backstage, and you were like, really, like, yes, like, open that door, go through it, see how you feel. Like, you were so not in any way. And I felt like I really understood the spirit of that comedy. But a couple of people wrote to me and I was like, you seem like such a straight up person. Like, most people I wouldn't say anything, or I'd say very privately or whatever. But I was like, you seem such a straight up person. Yeah. I feel like you're such a good, open, frank talker. Like, I was like, I think I forgot to mention it before, and I was like, I think I can talk about this to Robbie.
I'm happy to have an open conversation. I mean, I love talking anything queer within the queer space, and I think we get to have all the conversations that straight people get to have about their dynamics. I like to have all the conversations, and unless you're specifically spinning my stuff in such a way that it feeds what you're trying to make it. Otherwise, you know, it's coming from my personal experience. It's not for anybody else. It's a personal thing from me and my experience, and it might not be yours. And that is cool.
Yeah, I think it was more like a sensitivity, like, oh, are you saying I'm not queer? And I think it was more like you know, when something's a sore spot.
If you have your own projections about your insecurities about whether you're queer, nothing to do with me. If that highlighted an insecurity that's under you for whatever reason, it's not. I'm only talking my experience. It might not be yours.
Yeah. And it's good to sort of connect in with that and say, look, and also I think comedies are very, stand-up comedies are very blunt tool sometimes. And it's very difficult to be funny and entirely inclusive all the time. But I think it is, it's important that we question the prevailing patriarchal worldview. And I do believe your comedy does do that. I think you're so out on a limb and you're such a marginalized person. You know, you grew up in an orthodox sect. You're a lesbian with masculine gender expression. Like, you're so far on the margins. I'm like, I feel like really, you know, you're not just your very presence on stage. You're contributing.
And I know
to
I seem like I,
to a different, more inclusive worldview.
Oh, approach me with these things. I know that people think maybe people don't want to approach me with these things because I look like I bite and I'm vicious, but hit me up. Let's talk. Okay, yes, I'm aggressive.
You gave out your email address so many times on that show. Do you remember
email
what I was
me,
saying?
You guys,
can't say that.
You don't have to go through Deborah.
Made me laugh so much.
Talk to me. I'm happy to talk to you. And it's obviously have a drink or something if you want, you know, do what you need to do to prepare yourself to talk to me. But this is my natural demeanor. I don't mean anything by my I can't.
Oh, you're cutting out again at the crucial moment. Well, listen, I think anybody who's got questions should tune into Dyke Vice.
Yes, please. Dyke Vice, planetscum.live. I mean, I couldn't be more of an open book. I'm happy to talk about anything and ultimately talk you through some things. And
yeah,
I think, well, you know what? It's suggested $5 a call, but you literally could not go $5 a call. My therapist, Deborah, is $175 an hour. And I'll tell you, if I told her, hey, should I have a tuna fish sandwich? Should I have a roast beef sandwich? She couldn't tell me. I'm like, just pick one. Why can't you? I'm going to tell you exactly what to do. Should you experiment with your girl neighbor? And yeah, I think so. If you're both in the same building, you're both exposed, I'm going to give you a yes. You don't have to wait four sessions with your therapist to work it through.
I'm loving this. You are cheaper than a therapist, but actually more decisive.
Yes.
Somebody's suggesting ninth grade hand jobs. Like, I gave ninth grade hand jobs like they were a job for a t-shirt, I think.
That's good.
That's a t-shirt that would sell. Finally, I keep saying finally, but I don't mean it, but I do mean it this time. After lockdown ends, if you could go back to doing absolutely anything, what are you desperate to do? What are you keen to do?
I want to ask one question and then answer this. Does liking to give handjobs and nothing else to men make me bisexual?
Do you still like to give them, or was that a phase?
I would give a handjob.
I think it's probably then, yeah. It's like a Kinsey scale, as you say. It's like...
Right.
Like mildly bisexual. I would say you're gay leaning, very highly gay leaning bisexual.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a new one for me. Maybe that's the t-shirt. Highly gay leaning bisexual.
Highly gay leaning bisexual.
After this conversation.
Oh, that is a great t-shirt. Hannah,
yeah.
Hannah from the merch store, because it's the great merch store that does this. You'll get all the proceeds from it. And if you are set financially at the moment, you can always redirect them to another comic. But I would suggest you take them because we do not know what is going to happen around the corner.
I guess what I miss, to answer your question now, I miss just chilling with a beer on a patio. I miss like the pre-dinner show, the pre-dinner before a show with a friend or another artist. And just, I miss that. I miss the conversation in real time, you know, conversations like this, conversations I enjoy. I wish we were in person for great conversation. And
it's
I love the return
contact.
Of the conversation. You know, some conversations, I just love an in-depth conversation of any kind. And it doesn't, I would love to do it over a drink on a patio. It's the simple things for me.
Babe, I just be happy to make eye contact with someone who isn't my husband right now. Just sit outside or in whatever and just look into the eyes of someone, because you just don't get to look into anyone's eyes, because I'm looking at you, but you're looking at... And so as soon as I look at the camera and then I'm really looking at you, I can't see you anymore. So eye contact is a thing of so 2019. Somebody's suggesting you're 98% lesbian, and someone else says, does the hand job turn you on? That's the decider.
Yeah, I like, you know what, I like the aggressive nature of a man's orgasm for some reason. I think that's what I liked about it back then. I don't know if I like it enough to return to it. And I've maybe inherited a lot of that energy now and taken what I'd like from it and put it, you know, utilize it within my own sex life. But it's interesting to see how those roots, you know, grew.
Yeah.
98% is good. Maybe a 99%, just because I don't know about the revisit yet. But I never say never to anything.
You could be the Messiah in the terms of...
I don't want to. If Hashem,
I'm just saying that second coming could be something. All puns intended. Is there a t-shirt, Robbie? You're doing this, but you're buffering. But is there a second coming t-shirt? Is there a second coming t-shirt with a coming spelled C-U-M-I-N-G
that combines? That.
It's sort of like a messianic. Is it something like I'm the Messiah, see my second coming? It's not perfect.
I mean, the C-U-M is...
What about just your next show being called The Second Coming and it's C-U-M-I-N-G? Robbie Hoffman, The Second Coming.
We'll have to do this. Robbie Hoffman, The Second Coming, PlanetScum.live on Thursdays. Dyke Vice for now, but The Second Coming is close. And maybe we'll do a call-in where you guys call in and we see about your possible near-death or Second Coming type stories, because it really shook my world when I thought I was going to have to flip my world to start bringing in a baby Jesus and get a Playmobil thing and get everything in. I mean, I was really at my lowest.
A wine to water kit. My first wine to water. My first walk on water kit. I mean, it's baby's first walk on water. There are so many. People are saying...
I got to get him the plastic hammer.
People are suggesting the second coming t-shirt. I feel like you're going to need a bunch of t-shirts.
Okay, we need these t-shirts. Whoever's making these t-shirts, okay, we're going to put the proceeds. We're going to split. We're going to do something great with them and support queer artists ultimately with them, because these voices are important and these conversations are important, I think, and starting to get these conversations and these artists into the mainstream. So we'll figure it out.
Top three new normal lips right here. I've been laughing so much. Thank you so much, Sojourner. And Runbait Girl says, would you call him Jesus or something cool like River?
Well, you know, Ron Jesus, it's interesting you said River. My name, my stage name was almost River. My name is Rivka. My Yiddish name is Rivka. So when I was changing my name, I was thinking, oh, do I just go River? I didn't want to change the initial, but I actually ended up naming myself after my Uncle Rob, who I never heard anything bad about. My Uncle Rob from Vermont. Nice. Shout out to Uncle Rob.
I had no idea. Rivka's such a cool name, though. And it's like riffing in comedy. Why did you not keep Rivka?
So maybe River. You know, I would have to do Jesus, because I wouldn't want, like, once I'm raising, it's like, okay, this is Jesus. Maybe I would call him Moshe, Moses. We would rebrand him. We make the second coming Moses again. And then we raise him completely Jewish. And we have a big bar mitzvah and the whole thing. So you guys get it that he's Jewish. He wouldn't even be doing your Christmas. He'd be doing Hanukkah.
He would be. It's so true. Maybe some postals or postcards. Hannah from the merch store. There's a lot of gold here. So maybe
postcards
just,
are good
you
at
know,
this time.
It's, yes. Maybe give it some thought. Robbie Hoffman or Rivka Hoffman. It's such a cool name. I wish my name was Rivka.
Thank you.
So cool.
Thank you.
It has been an utter delight to spend time in your company. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you.
So hilariously, so provocatively, so honestly. As always, you're an absolute joy and a delight. And thank you so much.
Love
and
you.
Tomorrow on the new normal, I think who is it tomorrow on the new normal? I can't even remember who it is now. And I feel bad. I should have looked it up. Friday, I know it's Raven Smith. And then next week we have Jamie Lee from Derry Girls and Sister Michael, Siobhan from the Derry Girls and some other great people, Jessica Regan. I can't remember who else now, but there's a bunch of people, Ned Sedgwick the week after. So check it out. There'll be schedules going up. And please tune in for Dyke Vice. I'm actually do you keep Dyke Vice anywhere, or is it just live streamed and out? Can we watch it?
Yes, it's live stream, and then the next day we will post it, I believe, on YouTube, and it stays up on planetscum.live. But call in, you got to call in, go to planetscum.live and call in through Discord.
Planet
I'll get you
Scum.
On there.
Like
yeah,
S-C-U-M.
And ask me whatever you want. I give even financial advice, so it is what it is.
Can you please do one that's a more civilized British time one day, and we'll advertise it on our end?
We got British people up through the night, this 3 a.m. Yes, we
All
will
right,
try
okay.
and do it.
Otherwise, watch. If you can't do that, someone says, don't go. Ali says, don't go. I don't want to give my kid a bath. I'm so sorry. You have no choice now. We got to go. Instagram's going to cut us off after an hour. But check them out on YouTube if you can't stay up till 3 a.m. They sound amazing. Bye, Robbie.
Thank you.
Love you.
Bye. Lovely speaking to you. Stay safe.
You too.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.